Well, let me jump into our message tonight. I want to talk about an enemy. An enemy that's lurking beneath the surface, only I think maybe in just light of all, what we've seen this week with the riots in Minneapolis and Los Angeles and Memphis, we've seen the depravity of man, not underneath the surface, but on top of the surface. For the life of me, I do not understand how that all of those people that have acted wicked and evil in destroying businesses and homes and people's livelihood, how they think that somehow serves justice for the sad and untimely death of a man who was taken into custody. But what it has revealed is that Satan is real, and when you take man and allow him to operate without the Lord Jesus Christ, he's capable and she's capable of anything, and that has been on full display this week. It's really disconcerting, and I'm so thankful that didn't take place in Tucson, because it would be a discomforting time. But we need to pray for those people that have been impacted by the riots there up in Minnesota and other parts of our country. By the way, those riots, they never fix something. They just make it a problem worse, and they make themselves look so foolish. So I would like to preach a message tonight about an enemy, a real enemy. And oftentimes it invades our life, it invades our home. And I've entitled this Misplaced Priorities, Misplaced Priorities. I think one of the greatest challenges of the Christian life is being able to balance and maintain our priorities. Long before that spiritual defeat or family breakup, Satan, he tempts, he tries to undermine Christians to a place of a high priority on his worldly definition of success. And long before there's a major catastrophe comes a series of wrong decisions that are made. And I want to encourage you tonight to take your Bible, 1 John chapter number 2, and we're going to look at Satan as the prince and the power and the ruler of this present world system. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants husbands to love the world more than loving their family. Satan wants every wife to love the accolades of this world more than her husband and her family. And Satan wants us to literally fall down and worship the system of this world that he's created. Make no mistake about it. Satan has been very happy with the events that have taken place this past week right here in our own country. Notice with me verse 15 of 1 John chapter number 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That word world is the Greek word cosmos. It means an arrangement of system or values. And these values are in opposition to God. And so the God of the Bible instructs us who are believers to not fall in love with the values or the arrangement of the world. And the basic priority of this world, it is in opposition to God. Never before in my life have Christians been so marginalized who have been put down. And we have seen that all across the United States of America. Today, there are churches that still were not allowed to open and worship. Yet, all the Costco, Sam's Club, the local malls were open, and yet their church could not open. It's ludicrous. It is an attack on the church. It's an attack, direct opposition to the things of God. 1 John 5 and verse 19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, a very direct verse to believers. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." That means a change, an outward change, an inward change. There is an obvious change that takes place by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or complete will of God. Paul states that a Christian should not live a life that looks like a worldly life. It should not be a life that's conformed to this world, that it should be a life, he said there, that's transformed, changed unto the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians today who are in fact conformed to the world's mold. And we can identify them as worldly Christians. Too many churches today are trying to grow by being worldly and trying to attract worldly people to a worldly system, and therefore there's really no change. Churches are trying to attract people by looking like the world, and in the year 2020, men and women need the same thing that they needed back in the first century, and that is this. People today need the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. It is through the foolishness of preaching that the Word of God comes into a person's life and allows that life to be changed and transformed to look more like Jesus Christ. And we do not need more of the world in the church. You know, this is a cop-out. We need more of God in the church today. Listen to James 4 and verse 4, a hard verse. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? That is very strong language. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is, present tense, the enemy of God. But I have to recognize that we all fight the temptation of trying to be accepted by the world, the system of this world, its values, and even its sins. And we try to have some of the world and then some of God for a while, and we run back and forth trying to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And James says, wait a minute, stop. You're fooling yourselves. James clearly teaches that you're committing spiritual adultery with God. James says you're cheating on God. Friendship with the world, it's a huge hindrance to a strong Christian family and a strong Christian life. And listen, I know I'm preaching on a Sunday night to our church, and therefore we would identify, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower. And so you're either part of the family of God or you're part of the family of the world. You cannot be part of both of them at the same time from God's perspective. Oh, you may have a foot in the world and try to have a foot as a Christian, but that doesn't work with God. And from His perspective, which is really the only one that matters, that is spiritual adultery. Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder got together many years ago to create a song that we hear all the time. We are the world. And in this song, they sang about the world community and how proud that they belonged to this world. You know, the problem with that song is this. In John, the Bible says that Satan is the one who's the father of this world. When I was a boy growing up in West Virginia, I learned a song that simply but strongly reveals that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And if you're saved today, then you realize that your spiritual citizenship is in a place called heaven, and we're just passing through this world. This world is not our home, and we are not to conform to the mold of the world. Trouble will come to your home when you place priority on this world's value over the Word of God. So tonight, I want to share with you three of the most common misplaced priorities, and these three areas Satan's going to trip us up faster than any other area. And with these three misplaced priority, I want you to know from the outset, I can even struggle in these areas and have struggled in some of these areas. I am not, as a pastor of a church, as a husband to Shelley, as a father to three amazing children, as a grandfather, as a boss at a business called a church, as a pastor of a ministry called Tucson Baptist Church, I am not immune from these misplaced priorities. And therefore, I know this, all of us need this message, that All of us could trip and stumble because of these priorities. Well, misplaced priority number one is this. They all begin with the letter P. I think we can remember that. Pleasure over spiritual growth. Pleasure over spiritual growth. It is a misplaced priority in our life. Look with me back in 1 John chapter 2, there again at verse 15 and 16. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now notice verse 16. For all that is in the world, and then he names three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The tools Satan uses to get us away from spiritual cravings and focusing on physical cravings is called the lust of the flesh. What is, what is lust? Lust is an inordinate desire or craving. May I say, Satan is a master at exploiting normal physical needs into abnormal desires and lusts. Satan takes something that is right and wholesome and beautiful, and he will twist and he's going to pervert it into something that's wicked and wrong. His goal is that we would place a priority on bodily pleasure over spiritual growth. His motto has been, and it's come from generation to generation, if it feels good, do it. And if you don't feel like going to church, then don't go, Satan says. You deserve a break today. Satan places such an emphasis on you and what you deserve. Satan does this in many ways. In his attempt to destroy our homes with this misplaced priority of pleasure over spiritual growth, he uses some tools. One of those is sexual exploitation. Satan is taking something that God has given us as a gift for man and woman and marriage, and he's exploited it today. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. God says that what goes on between a husband and a wife in the marriage, it is honorable. It is not wicked. It is not dirty. And physical relations are intended by God to be enjoyed in marriage. But today, immorality and sodomy is rampant. Satan has recruited boys all over this country and turned them into homosexuals. And today we live in this environment where we have the LGBTQX movement, and Satan has taken natural desires and perverted them. Satan turns loving intimacy into perverted lust through the great sin of pornography and movies that are on television, and just the lust of the flesh that has invaded our homes through media. The second thing that Satan does, not only sexual exploitation, but he uses music. Remember, Satan, Lucifer, was a musician, and he knows how to create dirty music. And I am not one of those preachers that says that everything you listen to must be a spiritual song. If that were the case, we couldn't sing Happy Birthday or other songs like that. There are love songs that my wife loves and gets sappy when she hears them. I'm not talking about songs that are wrong or that are not spiritual. What I am talking about is, though, that oftentimes we crave worldly music. And some would testify this evening that you have difficulty in this area of music. Your worldly, godless music, and there's something powerful in music, and Satan knows that, and Satan will employ all means to destroy you and your relationship with God with a love affection of worldly music. He uses as a misplaced priority of pleasures over growing spiritually. He also uses gluttony. Proverbs 23, verse number 2 says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. By the way, that's a godly diet. Put a knife to your throat. Just the imagery there. We may laugh, but the Bible instructs us that we should take care of our physical bodies. If our physical bodies breaks down, then it's not good for the use of the master. And we live in a society that doesn't take their diet seriously, and they're given over to the sin of gluttony. Well, we see tonight as Satan, as he uses pleasure over spiritual growth, that he does use sexual exploitation. He uses music. He uses gluttony. But he also uses alcohol and drugs. And when I say drugs, I'm talking about both illegal drugs and prescribed drugs. Even society speaks out oftentimes about those who have a drug addiction, and there are drug addiction programs all over our country. Every city has a drug addiction recovery center, because this has undermined a society, the misuse of drugs. But there's still, even with all these recovery places, a thirst for alcohol and drugs, and it has gripped our nation even to this moment. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled," that word filled means controlled, "but be controlled by the Spirit." John 6, and verse 63 says, "And the flesh profiteth nothing." Giving in to fleshly priorities, it doesn't profit spiritually. And we'll never profit spiritually when we sit down at Satan's table to dine and to eat. And it will always hurt our spiritual life and take away our focus from God and His will for our lives. Mom and Dad, you cannot build a godly home on physical pleasures alone, on entertainment alone. And the only thing that's going to build a lasting home in this year 2020 are the priorities and the principles that come from the Word of God. The fact is, you'll never build your family on the lust of the flesh. You can only build your family as you feed and teach from the Word of God, and you dine at His table, Jesus Christ, versus the devil's table of pleasures. It's a misplaced priority in so many of our homes. The second misplaced priority that I'd like to introduce also begins with the letter P, and that is possessions over the soul. Possessions over the soul. In verse number 16, we read about the lust of the eyes. Is the one consuming, encompassing thing in your life your toys? The man with the most toys wins attitude. In verse 16, it says, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes." Mark 8 and verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The eye is the gateway to the mind, and it's called the lust of the eye. A man whose mind is entrapped by materialism. This man is always thinking about what he can possess, my next purchase. And so I see that the one who has this problem with possessions over nurturing the soul is that he has a love of materialism. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, one of the longest sermons in the entire Word of God, Jesus, he addressed this very directly in Matthew chapter 6. He said this in verse number 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The man here in Matthew chapter 6 would call you crazy for giving your money to the church. By the way, we don't give it to the church. We're bringing it as an offering. We're bringing it as a tithe to God. But this man would say, "You're nuts. You can't trust anyone." However, he thinks nothing of spending $500 on a weekend of fun. This man would say, "Hey, you're a fool to invest in eternity, but it's okay to throw away $500 on fun and material possessions." And all the while, he has a garage full, an attic full, a storage shed somewhere full of all the materialistic possessions that he's purchased that he's even forgotten about. This man has such a thirst and a lust for the possessions of this world that he's forgotten to take care of the most important matter of life, and that is his soul, his standing before God. I've met countless people that think more about their next purchase than they ever do about nurturing their soul, nurturing that relationship with God. Hollywood tells us happiness is found in a new car or a new product, and you're really successful if you have this name brand. And what are all the advertisements on TV? What are those magazines that are at the checkout stand at the grocery store? They're all directed to the lust of the eye, to appeal to us. And so many times we as Christians, we fall prey to the tactics of the devil. I think that whenever we look at those magazines, that what is the magazine trying to do? Sell a story. Sell. And look, I'm successful if I have this. And oftentimes we get that, and then it's old, and 3 months later we want something else. We just have this love of materialism. And that's why there's so many storage units around Tucson, is it's a love of materialism. But we also then often serve this materialism. We have a love for it. We get all these possessions, and therefore we become a master or slave to our materialism. Once that materialism bug bites you, you become prey, P-R-E-Y, or you become a servant to it. You cannot serve God and the materialism of this world. Listen to what God's word said. Jesus said this: no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is talking about money or materialistic possessions. There's a story in the Old Testament that clearly is the best illustration for what I'm preaching tonight. The man's name was Achan. In fact, here's what's interesting. They all went to battle, and they didn't even take as many people as they needed because God was going to give them the victory. And the instruction was very clear that they were to destroy everything in the enemy's camp. They were to bring nothing back. Everything was to be destroyed. All of these people went into battle. We don't know the names of any one of them, but one, and his name is Achan. Because as the battle was raging, as the soldiers were destroying everything in sight, the Bible says that Achan, he slipped into a Babylonian tent, and he saw things there that instantly, the lust of the eyes, he saw them, and then he wanted those possessions. The Bible says in Joshua 7, verse 21, when I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. These were not the things that Achan needed. These were the things that he wanted. There are far too many couples that are in debt up to their eyeballs because they've lusted after things that they do not need, but they wanted in the heat of the moment. There is such a challenge today to decide the difference between a need and a want. Do you realize that Achan's sin? You say, wait a second, they were destroying everything. Why couldn't Achan have a little fun? Why couldn't Achan have a few of those things? Well, the answer is because God said not to. But because of Achan's sin and disobedience to God, people died. And that was because of the lust of the eyes from Achan. He didn't need, he wanted. And many men hinder their ability to give to God or to help their family because they have this lust of the eyes. Oftentimes, we look at the latest, greatest, whether it's on the internet or in a magazine or on television, something that's introduced, and we just run out and we buy it. We don't even think about, is it something I need? I can't afford. I have to put it on a credit card. I'll pay for it later. And we don't have the disciplines necessary to make wise purchases. We have those who are allowing their families to be destroyed because they have a desire for pleasure over spiritual growth. We have families that are being destroyed because they love possessions over nurturing their own soul. Tonight, let me give you a third misplaced priority that often infiltrates many Christian homes. Not only do we have pleasure and possessions, but we have position over people. Oftentimes, we value position over people. A life of boastfulness. I'm a overachiever, a name dropper. I want to deflect attention to me. This family does not just want to keep up with the Joneses, if you will. He wants to pass them. He wants to be better than the Joneses. The pride of life is such a vanity. It's empty. And many times, we know people who live a life of vanity. That word vanity means empty. Listen to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place where whence the rivers come, thither they return again. They try to find joy in possessions and in a position. Someone asked Rockefeller just before he died how much more he needed before he would be happy. And on his deathbed, he said this, just one more dollar. Look at me and what all I have accomplished in life characterizes this family. Sometimes we are willing to step over a person to achieve a position in life. The USA Today ran a story entitled, The City of Broken Dreams. And the article told of a Lockheed engineer who put all of his retirement in his house. He had an amazing house. 5 bedrooms, a 3-car garage. It had all the bells and whistles. He paid $450,000 for the house. Then he lost his job and his house sits empty, according to this article. And the market tanked in 2009 and the economy went bust. And the article recorded this man saying this, I'm 60 years old and I'm destroyed. My life savings are gone. I lost $240,000 on this house. Sometimes we value position over people to the point it can destroy. And it leads to living a life of disappointment. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it for the fashion of this world passeth away. In other words, they can't keep up. The fashion changes faster than we can possibly keep up with. There's no satisfaction in the fashions and the styles of the world. It's fleeting. It's only for a moment. I've learned something about shoes, whether it's Nike or Brooks or whatever name brand you want to make mention of. They introduce it. You know, let's say it's a Nike shoe 7.0. Well, as soon as the sales start to dwindle just a little bit, they introduce 8.0, and everyone has to have it because you're out of style. You'll never stay in style because there's a new style always being introduced, and we value position. I want to be better than my friends. I want to look better than my family. And what happens is it leads to great disappointment because you'll never satisfy that pride in your life. Well, let me conclude tonight with asking you a question. How are your priorities? As a Christian, as a Christ follower, as a believer, as one who's a member of Tucson Baptist Church, or you may be watching, you're a member of another Baptist church, or you may have stumbled on our program and looking for a great church. How are your priorities? You say, well, Pastor, this is kind of a hard message. You talk about pleasures and possessions and position, and you say this happens in Christians. Well, it does, and it destroys homes. And it is not really that hard to hear this message, though, if you look at the Bible. And the Bible should be our instruction book. So let me ask you three questions as I finish tonight. Here's question number one. Do you crave physical pleasure and tolerate church? That's a convicting question. Do you crave physical pleasure, that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Do you crave that pleasure and tolerate church? You know, it's church is something I got to do. I got to be an example to my family. But I have a craving, an insatiable appetite for the things of the world. Question number two. Do you purchase impulsively and give grudgingly? Do you throw a token $10, $20 bill, or do you truly tithe? Do you, with a joyful, happy heart, give offerings back to the Lord? Or is it all grudging? It is the hardest money in the world for you to let go. Do you purchase, though, impulsively? I got to go to the sporting goods store. No problem spending $200 on an impulse purchase, but I robbed God of $300. Do you go to the grocery store and just purchase impulsively things that are not healthy, feeding that appetite that leads to a gluttonous lifestyle? Do you purchase impulsively and give grudgingly to the church? Question number three. Do you consider what your parents or friends will think when you make a big purchase, or do you consider what God thinks? Hey, my friends are going to be really impressed with what I'm about to do. It's going to help my position. Or do you ever pray about and consider what God would have you to do? Several years ago, many years ago, so let me give you an illustration that has like a crooked path, a split path. So when Shelly and I were married, we first got married, we lived in Durham, North Carolina. And that's where we began our married life. It was great to be able to go over to the Duke campus, and they have a beautiful campus. And we'd go over there and walk around, spend evenings, and we really enjoyed that part of our newly married life. Well, I had a Ford Pinto, a royal blue Ford Pinto. It was embarrassing to drive, but I was debt free and didn't know anything. We went by the truck lot or the Ford place, and I found a pickup truck that I loved. Without even thinking about it, we just purchased it. It was complete impulse. We never even looked at our budget. The salesman did a masterful job of selling this vehicle to me. I was 22, and I had to have it, and I bought it. Well, I drove that truck just for 2 years, and then the new Ford Mustang came out. It had a new body style. It was so amazing. It looked like a race car. I had to have it. I was a Christian, but as I said, even as a Christian, I had struggles with some of these priorities, and I fell in love with that Ford Mustang. Now, this may have never happened to you, but it certainly happened to me. We were in Greer, South Carolina, at the Ford dealership. I took my pickup truck there, and the salesman, he did everything he could to twist my arm to buy the new Ford Mustang, and he made a deal possible. But here's the problem. I was upside down on the truck. I hadn't had the truck long enough, and so it had depreciated to the point that I owed more than the truck was worth. But he got me in. I was paying this astronomical monthly fee for a Ford Mustang that I never prayed about. I just wanted it, and I bought it. So I made two purchases, my Ford truck and my Ford Mustang, never even talked to the Lord about it. Impulse purchase, walked on the lot, and purchased. Well, the Lord began to mature and grow me, as well as Shelley. And as we got older, we realized there's great value in praying about every major financial decision, whether it's buying a house, a car, anything that it would set us back or destroy our budget. And so now we go back to where we're living in Salt Lake City. We needed another vehicle, and we went into the dealership. We sat down, and we're talking. And again, the salesman, he's doing his very best. He's not going to let us leave that parking lot until we have purchased that vehicle. Then we said words that I don't think he had ever heard as a salesman. Well, we're going to go home, and we're going to pray about this before we make this purchase. He said, what? I said, sorry, we're not going to purchase today. There's nothing you can say that's going to help us purchase today. We're going to go home, and we're going to pray about it, and we're going to see if we have peace about this decision before we purchase. He thought we had gone loco. I mean, he could not understand what we're talking about. And we did. We went home, and we prayed about it. The next day, he called us to see if we were going to purchase that vehicle. He had talked to the general manager, and they were going to take an extra whatever it was, I don't even remember now, off of the price of that vehicle. But Shelley and I realized that didn't fit into our budget, and we could drive an older vehicle a little bit longer, and we did. And we walked away from that because we did not have peace about it. Here's what I'm saying, is that we had to grow. We had to understand that some of those foolish financial decisions I made early in our marriage by purchasing two vehicles without praying, without considering, my dad even said, counseled me against doing it. I didn't listen, and I hurt us for several years financially by these foolish decisions. And the Ford Mustang cost me a lot more than just the monthly payment, because with every speeding ticket, not only did my insurance rate go up, but I got points on my license. It was a bad decision. But there's great peace when you actually pray about a decision. So let me ask you, do you ever consider what God thinks about a decision in your life, rather than just your friends and what you may look like to the world? Make wise decisions. Let me close with a story about a lady that I read about. And yeah, you may have even read about her. The lady had a perfect husband. She had no laundry, no diapers, and her husband never had a bad day at work. And she had a great garden too. No weeds, it never rained. God just brought dew each night and some sort of heavenly drip irrigation, if you will. She had no headaches, she had no backaches, she had no monthly aches. Her name was Eve. And one day, a beautiful creature came to her and talked to her and said, I can give you a better life than God gave you. Think of the irony of that. She had everything, lived in a perfect environment, and Satan, Lucifer, says, you're missing out on some things. All you have to do to have a better life is to eat this piece of fruit. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I'd like to ask you this evening, Satan does not have any new tricks. He just repackages them and to fit our culture, to fit our time period. Back then, it was a beautiful creature. Today, it's a video, or it's a new computer, or it's the latest, greatest vehicle. Satan still uses these three priorities and misplaces or misuses them in our own lives as Christians. And you know the rest of the story? Romans 5, verse 12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It all began in the garden with misplaced priorities in a family. And that family has impacted us to this very day, approximately 6,000 to 7,000 years later. And you will impact your next generation if you do not place proper priorities in the proper manner. And it's time for Christians to get out of Satan's orchard and understand that We can have these misplaced priorities in our own life. Oh, we can value pleasure and possessions and position over feeding that soul and over considering what God values and what God wants for us. God has promised to meet our needs, not all of our wants. And many times our wants gets us into financial difficulty, gets us into our pride difficulty, ultimately undermining and destroying our home.